here, and we've got a title that we're going to talk about: staying with sound doctrine. Staying with sound doctrine, and I'm taking this from a very familiar chapters and verses from 2 Timothy chapter 4 verses 1 to 5. I'm sure a lot of you have got this underlined in your Bibles, but very appropriate and very much in season for the times that we're living in. And we'll look at this tonight in 2 Timothy chapter 4 verses 1 to 5. I'm going to read this first, and then we'll have a look at this. And Paul says here to Timothy, "I charge you therefore before God and the Lord Jesus Christ, who will judge the living and the dead at his appearing and his kingdom. Preach the word, be ready in season and out of season, convince, rebuke, exhort with all long-suffering and teaching. For the time will come when they will not endure sound doctrine." For the time will come when they will not endure sound doctrine, but according to their own desires, because they have itching ears, they will heap up for themselves teachers, and they will turn their ears away from the truth and be turned aside to fables. But you be watchful in all things, endure afflictions, do the work of an evangelist, fulfill your ministry. I think these words are very applicable for the last days that we're in. Have we got sound all right? Because... okay, right. Okay, you can hear. Praise God. Well, this second epistle that Paul wrote to Timothy to encourage, to exhort, is interesting because this epistle was written, we believe, toward the end of Paul's ministry, during the time or the end time of Nero. This was also one of Paul's letters that he wrote in prison. And speaking of his soon departure, and he's ready to be offered as to how the Lord leads and guides, and history has it that Paul was martyred along with many of the other saints. But he's raising a question that many have and are abandoning the faith. And this, of course, always happens when little is happening on the scene. And they, of course, are believing for the coming of the Lord at their time. And they're probably thinking, well, the Lord's delaying his coming. And here we are, virtually 2,000 years down the line, and we're still in the same similar situation, which is very interesting. But we know now that Israel is now a nation after 2,000 years, and we're beginning to see prophecy being fulfilled before us. So we are that much nearer. But human nature doesn't change. Man doesn't change. And whatever the environment, whatever the circumstances, whatever dispensation or time we find ourselves in, you can be well assured that the Word of God never changes. For the Bible tells us it's the same yesterday, today, and forever. God doesn't change his divine plan. No matter what man says, what man is doing, whatever we hear or see politically going on around the world, God's decrees do not change. He is absolutely sovereign. And it's up to us whether we yield over in obedience to him or not. And that is the question. And much of our history over the centuries is as a result of man in his rebellion doing things in his own way, in his own hands. Many doing it in the name of Almighty God, and yet they do not know what spirit they are of. This is why it is so vital that we are baptized in the Holy Spirit, that we become a new creation in Christ Jesus. This is why, if we are born again from above, then one thing we begin to learn is that flesh and blood cannot reveal these hidden truths that God is revealing to his church in the last day. When I refer to his church, I'm talking, of course, to those who have been called out, a remnant unto the Lord. And so here the apostle is encouraging to stay with sound doctrine. Now, it's a very good question to raise at this point, but how do you know you're receiving sound doctrine? Because that's what people would say to you. That's what the world would say to you. That's maybe what your family, who are not saved, will say to you. How do you know that this is true? How do you know that you are receiving sound doctrine? How do you know that the word of God is right? And it's a good question, and it's one that can and is answered. But very often it's answered not always immediately. You see, man wants answers immediately, but God doesn't entertain that. He has a way of establishing truth, and he's still establishing truth over many, many centuries. That is why he's laid a foundation, a rock, and that rock is Jesus Christ, who is truth. And yet down through the ages, nearly 2,000 years, God is still revealing the truth of his word. He's still teaching every generation that comes who believes upon the Lord Jesus Christ. So it's not a question of being able to have all the answers and give people answers immediately, which of course is often what they want. Much of the answers to the word of God is spoken to this world through how you live and how you act in this world. Actions speak louder than words. And sadly, a lot of Christians, particularly evangelicals, they don't like that particularly, because they believe that they have great authority and power in being able to teach the word of God correctly. We don't know the word of God unless it's revealed to us, unless it comes from above and is taught to us by the Holy Spirit. We will simply have a mental assent of what we think is God's word. And man is very clever at how he can interpret it and make it sound very convincing and deceiving and seducing. And we have many, many around the world today who are doing that. Many speakers deceiving, seducing, drawing people in. And this is what the Apostle Paul is raising here in 2 Peter 4. He's showing and warning Timothy what is going to come. He's soon to go. He's not going to be around much longer. He doesn't know what the future's going to hold any more than we do. But he writes to warn what will happen. And my goodness me, does not church history tell us what has happened with regard to these few verses? So are we receiving sound doctrine? What is its effects on us? What is this word, the sword of the Spirit, what is it doing to my life? Is it controlling me? Is it freeing me? Is it bringing blessing to my life? Is it bringing true fellowship, harmony, oneness and unity? What is the effects that God's word is having on my life? And sometimes we need to think about these things or even talk to God about these things. You see, often time will tell, because most will be able to quote God's word. Most can turn to the scriptures. Whatever you're talking about or whatever is being discussed. But the question is, do we believe and do we apply it? That is the fundamental question. That is what challenges us. That is what I face each day when I take up my cross and follow the Lord. Am I yielding over to the word of God, that sword of the Spirit, to work his word, the principle of his word, into my life? That is what an overcomer will settle. That is what an overcomer will look to and be very sensitive to. And if we're walking close with God, it doesn't take long when we realise that we've missed the mark. Oh, I was driving again the other day, a couple of days, somebody trying to cut me in when driving, nearly hit the car and started to hoot behind with their horn. And I started to feel my anger, my temper coming up. I didn't have to rush to the word to find out what was going on there. I had murder at that point manifesting in my heart. And I call it exactly what it is. But thank God for the blood of Jesus, and that you can repent and come before him. And the wonderful thing is, he's so quick to forgive. A lot of amens coming up there. Yes, they're drivers, aren't we? We all know. We're all tested in that area. But you know, it's amazing how quick it manifests. That's what's so frightening. But praise God, it's a lesson I had to go through. It's a lesson I hope that I've learnt, that I can be tolerant. And whatever they do, how much they hoot at the back of you or get angry with you, because sometimes we don't get in the right lane or we're a bit lost. We don't quite know where we're going. We're looking for signs, you know, as well as I do. But a lot of them, they're so impatient. They know where they're going, but you don't. And don't they let you know? But there we are. These are just many of the tests that we find. And the question is, through these trials, am I going to stay with sound doctrine? When we use the term sound doctrine, we're talking about the word that doesn't change, that isn't watered down, that isn't made palatable to us, because otherwise it can offend us. Many times the word of God does offend. Many times it does cause us to question, to look to ourselves, or maybe sometimes we have to shelve some things because we don't fully understand yet or we're not seeing it yet. God is watching our attitude, our heart, as to how we approach the Word of God. And we also have to remember that we have to grow and mature with the Word of God as well. This is why we see things now with the Word that we weren't seeing 10 years ago or 15 years ago, if you were walking that long with the Lord. So it's a gradual growth, an unveiling. So these are just some of the ways that we look to with regard to, am I receiving this sound doctrine? And if we are, then we believe upon it with that simple childlike faith and seek any opportunity of which to apply it in our lives. Now, in this, he says to Timothy, preach the word, this is verse 2, preach the word, be ready in season and out of season, convince, rebuke, exhort, with all long-suffering and teaching. So he says to him, whatever's going on, whatever you're facing, just preach that word. Use that gift that God has given to you. And that's all you are answerable for. And any true minister who's called of God to preach and teach the Word of God will have a revelation of that, and it's ministered to you by grace, because you will find sometimes very few and maybe nobody wants to hear it. And I speak from experience in this. As some of you know, I was called to go and preach at a place. And we had quite a few were coming at one time, and it went down to one person. And eventually that one person didn't even come, or didn't come very often. God said, you still continue to go. Get in the car, drive there, and pay for the hall as well. And I had to continue with that for well over a year. God was teaching me to be obedient to preach the word. And guess what? His grace was sufficient. So these are some of the things in ministry that you go through. And he's encouraging Timothy here, because maybe Timothy might find, just like the Apostle Paul, where they all left him and they're all leaving him. This is what he's saying. They're all on their way, not interested. And yet we are to preach the word. And he says, not only that, but be ready in season, out of season. Times when there's blessings, times when there's not. And so he's showing here the challenge of enduring sound doctrine. It's in seasons and out of seasons. It's all weathers, all seasons, whatever the circumstances. Earthquake, fire, wind, hail, snow. There are understanding of seasons and weather conditions. What he says, put that over spiritually with the Word of God. Preaching, teaching the Word of God has got nothing to do with how you feel. It's got nothing to do about you or what I can get out of it. Or will I make a lot of money this week at this particular place where I'm invited to preach? Oh, I know all about that. I've had men come up to me in the past and encouraged me and said, go and preach at this particular church. I'll give you a good reference. And I can tell you now, brother, you'll get a good collection there. They'll pay you well. I've had all those temptations and I've heard it all. But that is not what Paul is saying here to Timothy. Stay with it. If you have received a revelation of God's word, if you have a revelation, which we all need, and we have been given a revelation, a vision, the deeper life, and it isn't changing and it won't change, and you can go elsewhere and look elsewhere or listen to other preachers and teachers, but it won't change. God has given it and it's for an appointed time. And everything that's happening in this walk is and will be for an appointed time. And you cannot rush it. And so why the Lord tarries his coming, the second coming, we preach the word. And he says, be ready in season, out of season. In other words, you're ready for whatever happens, whatever will happen. You are ready for the signs that follow the preaching and teaching of the word of God, which is healing, deliverance, salvation. I often confess that and pray that over the word that's preached. But there's still much of that I'm waiting upon because it's not yet the right season. Convince, rebuke, exhort with all long suffering and teaching. So what is this word rebuke? Well, this is where at times we don't compromise. But we are those defenders of the word of God. We defend the truth. Maybe we need to help correct those who misapply the word. Or not just having a clear understanding of the word. So it's not only the preacher, but also being defenders of the word. And we believe that we're receiving that sound doctrine, then there are seasons where we rebuke, where we exhort. Exhortation is so important in the house of God. We all have potential within us to exhort our brothers and sisters in the faith. It's not just left to the preacher. With all long suffering and teaching. And here it is. It takes this time, doesn't it, for faith to get into our hearts. Here again is this long suffering with regard to the word, with regard to preaching and teaching, exhorting, encouraging, rebuking. It's a long, arduous work. It's not something that can be done overnight. It takes many, many, many years and continues to go on in the manner that it is. Because it takes time for faith and to believe. For many, it's undoing wrong things in the mind. Or teaching. It's for doors to be closed in the mind. It's the cross having to do its work in separating us, crucifying those areas. Because when you find areas in your mind, those doors close, you very often then get deeper insight, revelation to the word of God. And it goes on, what does it say in verse 3? For the time will come when they will not endure sound doctrine, but according to their own desires, because they have itching ears, they will heap up for themselves teachers. In other words, because they become tired, nothing's happening, it's the same old thing, they start to look to themselves, turn their eyes away from the Lord, and as a result, the enemy will get in and he'll find someone who will speak to their circumstances, who will speak to how they feel, who will cater to all of that. And how we see that happen, it's happened in the assembly many, many times over the years. But verse 3 gives us the clue, doesn't it? You see, where are really their desires? Their desires are on self. It's what I want. They may talk about the cross, but the fact is it's not really working. Because self is the issue. And many, many times we're going to be challenged with regard to ourself. Don't think that this goes away. It doesn't. We will be at times reminded of this. Are you going to do God's will, or is it yourself what you want? And we're very, very good at making self and our desires and what we want to do, we're very, very good at making it sound very spiritual, as though God's in it, blessing it. But the fruit will tell in time, because Jesus said, by the fruit you will know them. So often in all these things, it takes time for it to be fully seen. That is why it takes time sometimes to test the spirits, to test what is in operation. Is that the Holy Spirit in operation, or is it another spirit? Or it could be the spirit of the person, their spiritual side. It's not always necessarily demonic. It can just be self, that greed, that want, that desire, that pride. You see, if the cross isn't central, there will be problems. And this is why, sadly, we have so many problems in the house of God, because the cross is not central. The cross is not dealing with the selfish life. And this is why you have these squabbles. It's competitive. It's tribal. You can go on. We know some of us were in it. And that is always the problem, because the cross is not central. The cross deals with it all. There are two aspects, as we know, to the cross. And this is where people get muddled up. This is where they argue and debate, because so often, well, Jesus, he went to the cross, he dealt with it. The cross was Jesus' experience. He had to go to fulfill that we now can have that new life with the Father. But you will not hear where the cross has to be in our life and my life. And that is always what sorts out the men from the boys in the Christian walk. And the Apostle Paul was not afraid to bring this out, to show that we too take it up daily and follow the Lord. And if you're taking it up and you desire, and it's what you've settled, as I've said so often, you won't have to keep talking about it. The Holy Spirit will work it. And he does. And you don't have to go and look for these trials, these tests. They're all there. They're all around us. And God will work it. One of the things I have found, that when you are tried and you are tested, and you will be, there's just an inner knowing. There's just that desire. When you turn back to the Lord, you repent, the cross is there, is central. And that is the blessing. That is the indication to you that yes, it is settled there. Yes, you have missed the mark, but it's still there. That is the point. And it's doing its work. And that has to be revealed to you, brothers and sisters. It's not just something we talk about. It is something you know personally with God. It is your experience with the Lord, because that is what anchors you. That is what helps you to endure, to stay with it. Otherwise, you are up and down. One minute you're hot for the Lord, next minute you've got problems or you're angry with him. And so many Christians walk like that with the Lord. Now he says also in this, endure sound doctrine. They will not endure sound doctrine, but according to their own desires, because they have itching ears, they will heap up for themselves teachers, and they will turn their ears away from the truth and be turned aside to fables. Ah, now what do they start to turn to? Fables. What is fables? Fundamentally, fables is rubbish. And that's what they turn to. They turn to rubbish. And what is our understanding of this, what they turn to with regard to rubbish? Well, they like their short stories. They like moral lessons. They like philosophy. They like stories or people dressing up, or they like drama. They like to watch biblical films and all those sort of things. It makes them feel comfortable, spiritual, makes them feel like a Christian. And we're surrounded with all of that in the world. They like stories on legends. They like to hear about extraordinary people, people who've devoted their lives or done extraordinary things for the name of God. And certainly people have. And we encourage testimonies. But you don't build your life around that. That is the result of saints who believe God and walk by faith. And they want to make heroes out of them. And they want to write books on them and make films about them and so on. And a lot of that, of course, comes out from Hollywood, America. They want to make heroes. And if a Christian that's gone through a difficult medical problem, they want to exhort medical science. Look what medical science did. It was a miracle how they were raised. We are so confused to what miracles are. But we will see them. They're coming. And it will make those miracles that the media talk about look very trivial to what God will do, confirming his word. They like these old wives' fables. And we've got today, haven't we, where all these lies, speaking falsely about the past, as if it was true, these lying spirits that are all attached to it. We get all this teaching and films and documentaries on prehistoric times, and yet we know carbon readings are so flawed. That is a fact. You only got to go on the internet to read that. It's all there. And yet they talk about it as though they lived 2 million years ago, that they were actually there. And we get these animated films now of these prehistoric animals and what they look like and how they make them look so realistic, as if we actually were living in those times. Fables, false talk, lies, lying. And yet we have today, with all technology at our disposal, a generation that is so ignorant to the Word of God, knows very little about God's Word. That's the state we're in. And the apostle goes on to Timothy, "But you be watchful in all things. Endure afflictions, do the work of an evangelist, fulfill your ministry." So he's coming back to him, fulfill what you have been given. He's also an evangelist as well as a pastor. And he says, fulfill your ministry, just stay with it until the Lord takes you. Be faithful to the end. And that is highly commendable in the eyes of God. Because what else can you do? You can't do any more than that, than remain and be faithful. And as I've said before, and I'll say it again as I bring this to a close, what can Satan do with a saint who remains faithful and stays with it to the end? What can he do? He can't. He's lost the battle. And you can stay with it, because the one who was faithful, who endured, and who endured the cross, is the one who lives in your heart and in your life every day. And so we're called to be watchful, in other words, sober-minded. A watchman is one who doesn't get carried away because he has seen a mirage in the distance. And a mirage, I know because I've been in the desert, can very much look like a river. But he doesn't say anything because he's going to wait to see if that actually a river or is it a mirage. In other words, sober-minded, you wait on the Lord to confirm whether what you've heard right or you've seen right is right. We're all too quick because we're impulsive. We're all emotional. Or we feel so spiritual. They're just emotions. And emotions have their place, don't get me wrong. God can work through our emotions, and he does. But don't rely on them. Don't step out in faith on them. Wait on the Lord, and he will establish, he will confirm, he will show whether it is real water or it's a mirage. Because sometimes you just don't know. You don't know. So this is what the apostle is encouraging this young man in his ministry. And he's saying, just be watchful in all things. Don't be too quick. wait. And this is what God is teaching us in our training. And this is why it seems nothing's happening. Very little is going on. But I can tell you one thing, what is happening. We are getting a great discernment. God is teaching us and enabling us to be able to discern the times that we live in, when most sadly can't. Many of the churches have lost all sight of the coming of the Lord now, building, planning for the future. But God won't let us do that. He is making out of us sojourners, passing through, walking with the Lord each day by faith, seeking the kingdom. That is what he's working with us. Let them plan, let them scheme, let them say what they're saying, let them build up the people with false promises. Let them build their spiritual empires. A lot of these ministers, they're millionaires. Many of them have got their own empires. Let us do what God has called us to be faithful to. Endure it. Stay with it. God has made no mistake. And he has the very best for us. He has our interest at heart. And he's giving us the very best of himself. We are experiencing him personally in our lives each day. You are not receiving religion. You are not being puffed up, patronized, anything but. The truth is always presented to us. Sometimes it is hard to swallow. Many times it has our name and address on it, but that tells me God loves me. And when I hear the word preached where I know in my flesh I can't live it or keep it, then that is a clear indication that that is from God. The day I hear where it's elevating me and trying to appeal to pride is the day I turn my ears away from it. That will not build. And that is what Paul is speaking about here. Preach the word. Be ready in season, out of season, convince, rebuke, exhort with all long-suffering and teaching. I think that's a word in season for us. That is very applicable to FGA and what is happening and what we're going through. Praise God. Father, we thank you tonight for your word, encouraging us again. Lord, we can all of us just rest that we believe and we are receiving that sound doctrine, both individually and corporately. And Lord, you are working the revelation of your word into our lives and our hearts. Help us, Lord, to see more. Help us, Father, to not deviate or compromise from the principles of your word. And Lord, when we fall short, then may we return with all our hearts immediately and repent and maintain the covering of the blood of the Lamb over our lives. Lord, watch our going out and our coming in. Be with us. Help us to be a watchful people. Help us not to rush into any situation, but to wait, to look to you. And Father, we thank you for the way you establish, the way you are building, Lord. and you are building a fellowship, a body, where we are motivated by love. Our faith is motivated by love. Our care and attention for each other. Lord, we desire to be that light in this darkness that we live. Our heart's desire is that we bear that fruit that tells the world we have been with Jesus. For this we ask, Lord, in Jesus' name. Amen, amen.